MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Well, with the South African tax season now in full swing, taxpayers have received a combined 10 billion rand in refunds from SARS in the tax season ending February, with the increase of third-party data saving the fiscus from paying undue refunds. SARS Commissioner Edward Kiswetter is with me now, saying that 191,000 returns had been filed by Monday. Commissioner, welcome to you. Thank you very much for talking to us. Let's start off with the broad picture. Are South Africans becoming more compliant, or has SARS simply just improved its methods of tax collection and compliance enforcement?
I think there's a bit of both, Jeremy. So thank you and good afternoon. We are working hard to help taxpayers be more compliant. In fact, it's an explicit objective of ours. And the fact that we have been able to give 5 million taxpayers a seamless experience is part of that journey. What that means is that this year, 5 million taxpayers, or 60% of the 8 million individuals from whom we expect returns, 60% of them will not have had to submit a return. We would have done all that work using data science, the big data that we get from service providers, and crunching it through supercomputers, applying machine learning and artificial intelligence to actually present 5 million people with their income tax return done. Those of them who would choose to can edit it. But we have found very, very few of these returns were edited, which means taxpayers have largely accepted our assessment. Those who did change it were typically for either additional medical aid that would not be out-of-pocket expenses for them. And we have found quite a few taxpayers who would have claimed for the solar rebate, as was provided for by Treasury. So it's a very, very pleasing outcome. And those people would, if they were not selected for any further verification, or they didn't have any prior year outstanding issues with us, would have received their refunds already.
Commissioner, as the tax season now progresses, then maybe just give me a sense of the primary red flags that you have in terms of monitoring to ensure compliance, one, and secondly, to detect fraud.
So the first thing that we find is that some taxpayers create expenses that are either not real or overstate expenses that they cannot provide us with proof of. That's one of the areas, particularly instances like home office or, as we said now, travel logs or medical expenses. And the message to taxpayers, it's not worthwhile. Because once you get onto, we profile every taxpayer, and once you become a high-risk taxpayer for us, you are more likely to be selected for further investigation. And therefore, the advice is, don't try and game the system. You may earn an extra 100 rand or so, but more importantly, you've drawn attention, to yourself. Then we find significant red flags in terms of businesses who also operate as vendors and who fictitiously create input claims to get access to the VAT refund system. Increasingly, we are able to detect such instances of non-compliance, and we have now built a very sophisticated machine learning fraud detection mechanism to point that out to us, which is why last year we announced that we had prevented almost 100 billion of impermissible refunds to have flown out.
Commissioner, you've expressed some disquiet around taxing international online retailers and e-commerce platforms. Tell me why and what steps are being taken to address this issue.
You know, we forget that just the other day, you and I would occasionally buy a book on Amazon.com and then later companies like Alibaba and so. So our entire tax administration system was designed, due to resource constraints and other matters, was designed to not have a huge focus on those single parcels that came in maybe a few hundred a month. Now, with the proliferation of e-commerce through international retailers, and you've mentioned two who operate purely online, we don't have single parcels coming in, but literally tens of thousands of parcels in a single container, but dispatched to thousands of individuals, as opposed to a high street retailer like a ShopRite or a Pick and Pay, who would bring in a container that is all for one client. And what we need to shift to now is, with the times, how do we administer single parcels that come in from through one clearing agency, but this destined for thousands of individuals? We are struggling with that because we are not equipped to do that, and we've given the next few months to work with these industries to see how do we accommodate them, because it's not a new law that we've created. We are just simply trying to implement the law, because the revenue at the moment, as we said, is well over $3.5 billion that is compromised. And what really is the other important role that SARS plays is to make sure that the local economy does not have artificial distortions. Now, if you're an online retailer that doesn't have to price in the customs duty, you have a price advantage to a high street retailer that has to take into account the fact that the customer will also pay the duty. And so there's a price arbitrage. The retailers actually online should not complain, because in the end, it's not them who pays the duty. It's the end use customer.
So you are engaging with these platforms. Are you, and I acknowledge it's early days at this point, but are you receiving the requisite cooperation that that you would want?
I think some of the clearing agencies are clearly seeing an additional cost burden to them, because we now have to do a bit more inspections. Our inspection rate, just to give you some reference data points, our customs inspection rate at the moment is about 2%. In other words, every cargo that comes through, we stop 2%. There are, based on risk profiling. In the EU, it's about 1.5%. In the USA, it's about 4%. Customs administration does not have the capacity, and it would distort the economy completely if we did 100% intervention with every item that comes through. Now, clearly, a few containers coming from one high street retailer is easier to inspect than a single container destined to go to 1,000 individuals. So that's the transition we're working with. Some of the clearing houses are squirming because they see the additional burden, and we were going to implement the law as from the 1st of July, but taking feedback as we responsibly do, we've given up until October to work with them to see how do we meet each other halfway, because on our side, we are in fact mandated to apply our laws, but at the same time, we want to keep the burden on such retailers and the clearing houses, the clearing agencies, more importantly, to a minimum.
Commissioner, let me pivot to another issue, and the warning I think has been sounded. Pension fund members who are considering accessing a portion of their retirement savings under this two-pot system have got to realize, and I think you've put this out, that it is a costly way of getting money. There is a tax implication, and potentially SARS could benefit. Maybe give us the warning, but are you also rubbing your hands in glee and expectation of more revenue?
Jeremy, let you give me a personal view first before I speak to you as a tax man. I'm not a big supporter of individuals digging into their pension fund too early. And also, especially if the reason for getting access into the piggy bank is to fund your lifestyle. Pension fund monies are, by its very nature, to one, provide for income when you no longer can, but also two, to reduce the burden on the state to give social pensions and old age grants. But this has been negotiated with all stakeholders, and this is the agreement. What we are messaging, so first of all, SARS is working hard to be ready for implementation of this new provision as from the 1st of September. people very, very politely forget that there's a lot of work to get our systems ready to administer this. We're working with industry because they are important partners in information exchange and the flow of monies. What we have just alerted taxpayers to is that there is, in fact, a tax implication, because when pension fund monies are deducted from your income on a monthly basis, it is deducted before tax. And so when people think, oh, they want to, you know, take out 50,000 from their pension pot, they need to take into account that whatever their marginal tax rate would be at, they would have to budget for that. Are we now wearing my hat as a tax man? Obviously, it helps us under difficult circumstances to get additional revenue. But we also have to make sure that we are alive to any risks that our administration generally will have. And thankfully, we have built really deep capability in terms of technology platforms and data science to make sure that this goes through seamlessly.
And Commissioner, are you concerned that many of those retirement funds at this point don't seem to be ready?
We're working with them, Jeremy, through industry bodies, but also directly. And they all know that the date of the 1st of December at this stage is immovable. And when you know when we have an immovable object that you're approaching, you have no other option but to get ready. So we hope that they will be ready. If they are not, they will create delays and frustration to their members. It won't be a frustration for us as SARS. So we make this appeal on behalf of the members rather than ourselves.
And let me just ask you one final question. The issue about budget cuts as far as SARS is concerned has been raised by one or two political parties. It would have an impact on your ability to operate. Are you concerned about this, and how are you fighting for additional operational budget?
Well, so We have raised this matter with our principals, being the minister. We report this in Parliament. I am encouraged that there is a willingness and an openness by National Treasury and the minister to look at the funding requirements of SARS. I think it is absolutely a immutable reality that an investment in SARS has a return of between 10 and 100 fold. And so it would actually be quite short-sighted not to invest in SARS, because collecting the revenues that are already due to the fiscus is the lowest hanging fruit for us. But we also appreciate that government works within a funding constraint and an annual fiscal balance because we fund our government from cash. As far as possible, over 90% of government's revenue come from SARS. So it's not an easy conundrum to solve, but we continue to put pressure and to make the point that an investment in SARS is a medium to long-term issue that will ultimately be the best way to take pressure off the fiscal situation in South Africa.
South African Revenue Service Commissioner Edward Kiswetter, thank you very much for talking to me today.